suit to the point that it can only be done at this particular shop with its patented cubicle alone in a certain sort of solitary confinement where you speak to no one. You're not allowed to speak to other customers, as I found out when I tried. You have to read, if you can see the front part of the cubicle, you have to read the lengthy explanation in Japanese, and you only see the waiter's or the waitress's hands come underneath. It's all done in silence. When I started eating there, I affirmed for myself why I never became a Benedictine monk. But people often go into this kind of store, and this is what they want. So the question, how did we get there, is to understand the story of how Japanese began to eat a meaty soup, which is unusual for a country that really arguably until the 1860s ate very little, if any, meat at all. And certainly for a country that didn't produce wheat on any scale, why and how are there wheat noodles? We need to understand the Japanese quest for a national cuisine after 1860 that was much different from what they cooked before. We must consider the manner in which the Japanese completely transformed their ideas regarding what was healthy, and more importantly, what was tasty or delicious. My talk today will generally consist of three parts. Part one is the pre-ramen history. Part two will be the relationship between China and Japan, how that changed over time and helped evolve or develop ramen, the creation of ramen. And the last section is kind of the fruition of this evolution, demonstrating Japan's intricate popular culture relationship with food in general and specifically